The scripture for today's message is Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. First, let me begin with Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Amen.
For more details about the sermon today, please refer to the senior pastor's sermons, Take Up Your Cross and Follow the Lord in 1992 and The Way of the Lord in 2011. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, after I preached the message titled Deny Yourself, one of my parish leaders asked me a question. After she listened to the sermon for a few times, she thoroughly realized that she was not right, and she decided to deny herself. Yet, she found that casting off her ego was not as easy as she expected. She asked me what the reason was, so I answered her like this. The biggest reason why you insist on yourself and persist in your opinion is because you think you're right. Furthermore, you cannot die to self completely because you love yourself. Brothers and sisters, do you love yourself or not? If you love yourself, do you love yourself just a little or do you love yourself very much? Thank you. If you are not a person of spirit or a whole spirit who loves God to the utmost, most of you must love yourself a lot. Take self-esteem for an example. You know that it is spiritual arrogance, but if you have cast off self-esteem, you won't feel bad, even if someone ignores you. But because you love yourself so much, you are not able to cast off your self-esteem and suffer from it, right? The Bible says that you should not love yourself, but love God and the Lord before all else. Rather, Matthew 16:24 says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself." And Luke 14:26 says that if anyone does not hate even his own life, he cannot be the Lord's disciple. Therefore, you can deny yourself when you admit that you are not right. But if you don't love the Lord but still love yourself, you cannot cast off your ego completely. Our shepherd taught us, and we know that to love God is to keep His commandments, as it says in 1 John 5:3. Then what is to love our Lord? Even in the world, when people love each other, even spouses with different appearances begin to resemble each other. In the same way, if we truly love the Lord, we will pleasantly follow not only His word, but also all His ways. That is, we'll follow His way of suffering and the way of the cross. That's why our Lord says in Matthew 16:24, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Therefore, loving the Lord is taking up your cross and following him. Well, when you deny yourself, you can put down yourself. Yet, because the cross implies death, only when you take up your cross, you can completely deny to self. However, you should not take up your cross by force. Just as Hebrews 12:2 says that our Lord endured the cross, the despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you truly have faith, you wouldn't be ashamed of taking up your cross, but you take it up willingly all the time. That's why hymnal song number 496 sings, in the cross, be my glory ever. And number 513 sings, carry your cross with a smile. Carry your cross with your smile. You may others from sadness to gladness beguile if you carry your cross with a smile. Then what should we do to completely follow the way of the Lord by taking up your cross always willingly? Firstly, you would not think your cross as a heavy burden, but instead think of it as something glorious. To do so, you have to realize the spiritual meaning of the cross from the heart. Let's first look into what a cross is. At Friday all-night service on March 25th this year, the senior pastor explained about the cross in great details. To summarize it, people in ancient times nailed a criminal alive on the cross and hung him there until he died, even if it was for days. Since the pain both physically and mentally was so very great, before just a few centuries had passed, the punishment of crucifixion was abolished by Constantine the Great of the Roman Empire when Roman Catholicism was made the official state religion. Our Lord was given the death sentence of crucifixion. Before he was crucified, his body was already torn apart after scourging. Even though his blood pressure dropped because of excessive bleeding, he had to carry the wooden cross beam, which was 2 meters long and weighed 40 kilograms, to Golgotha. It is known that he fell down 3 times on the way. In addition, he was nailed on the cross through his hands and feet, which gave him unimaginable pain. He felt terrible thirst by continuous bloodshedding. Due to the body weight, his bones separated and his shoulders dislocated. It became increasingly hard to breathe. Research indicates that the victims of crucifixion repeatedly passed out on the cross as much as 1,000 times before they died. Our Lord died after suffering the worst pain that mankind had ever suffered. Our shepherd said that the Lord's cross spiritually contained the meanings of curse, sacrifice, and love. However, the Bible says that we also have to take up this kind of cross. What does it mean? Taking up the cross has two spiritual meanings. Firstly, it means that we have to live a life of sacrifice for people around us, such as our family, relatives, and neighbors, just as our Lord sacrificed himself to save us. The other meaning is that we have to die daily in everything that belongs to our ego. Just as in Galatians 5:24 it says, to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. That is why Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what do we boast of? Do you boast of an honorable thing or a shameful thing? We boast of an honorable thing, well done and joyous thing. Therefore, Apostle Paul said he boasted of dying daily because he didn't feel it difficult to die to self, but to rejoice. In other words, because he realized the spiritual secret of dying, that his spirit revives when his flesh dies, the truth lives in him when untruth dies, and the Lord lives in him again when he dies to self, he could die daily with joy. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, many believers want to receive glory, resurrection, many fruits and blessings from the Lord as it is promised in the Bible. Do you want this promise too? But just as Romans 8:17 says, we have to suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. And we have to take up the cross so that we may come forward to resurrection. Also, as it is said in John 12:24, we have to die like a grain of wheat to bear much fruit. And we first have to be well refined to make ourselves as proper vessels for blessings so that we may receive blessings. Think about yourself. You want to receive glory, but are you rejoicing with sufferings? Or do you think hard? Do you think it hard to receive suffering? You want to bear much fruit, but you don't want to die like a grain of wheat. You feel hard to die like a grain of wheat. You want to receive blessing. To prepare for the proper vessel, you have to be refined well, but you don't receive the refinement with joy and thanks. Do you want to avoid that refinement? Please check yourself. Therefore, if we truly love the Lord, we will accept any hardships, any cross, any dying, and any trials, not by force, but willingly, with joy and thanks. It's because if we look at them with faith, hardships means glory, the cross means resurrection, and dying like a grain of wheat means much fruit, and trials means blessings. Some people whose spirit have been to heaven say that when we go to heaven, we are given a crown as big as the cross we took. And in the place for crosses, the biggest cross is the cross of the Lord. I think the second biggest cross is probably the cross of our shepherd. So Romans 8:17, 18 says, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." 1 Peter 4:12 and 13 say, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing." When our senior pastor explained about Job's refinement, he said that such refinement was not allowed to anyone, but to a person who might be able to go through so that he could be blessed more greatly. In the same way, just as 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." If you look at the cross with the eyes of faith, it is not hard and heavy, but noble and glorious to those who truly love the Lord. Therefore, you have to take the cross with thanks and joy, always willingly. Only then you can completely follow the Lord. To take up the cross willingly, secondly, you should not think it hard to sacrifice yourself, but rejoice in it. The representative fleshly attributes are a changing mind and a facile mind. The cross symbolizes sacrifice. A dictionary defines a sacrifice as the act of giving up something highly valued for the sake of something else considered to have a great value or claim. Therefore, to make a true sacrifice, you should not fit yourself, but to others. It's possible only by surrendering. Therefore, to take the cross willingly all the time, you have to be on the alert and not to have the insincerity of mind desiring to be at ease. You should not feel hard to sacrifice yourself with this facile mind, but you should consider it as if you filled your flesh with the Christ's afflictions, like it says in Colossians 1:24. We know very well about the sacrifice of the Lord through the Bible. Because he knew his duty very well from the time he was born, he has prepared his public ministry only with the word and prayer. During his three-year ministry, he couldn't sleep or eat well, but he was up all night praying. In daytime, he preached the gospel of heaven to the souls. He healed those who were demon-possessed, sick, and weak. Even in his time of rest, he taught his disciples. He slept and rested so little as to take a short sleep even while he was on a sheep. He didn't take care of himself at all, but he lived his life of sacrifice and devotion only for the souls. Before he took the cross, he was pulled this way and that all night, and he was scourged within an inch of his life for our sins and diseases. He wore the crown of thorns for our sins that we committed with our mind, and he took up the heavy cross with his body that was already torn apart and fell down three times along the way. In this dehydrated state, he was nailed through his hands and feet for our sins committed by our hands and feet. Even when he was hung on the cross, he didn't think of his own pain, but he comforted the heart who had heart-wrenching pain. He took the cross with joy, thinking of the souls who would be saved. Even after he died, he was pierced on his side to shed all his blood and water for our souls. By doing so, he showed us the example of perfect sacrifice. We know this sacrifice of the Lord on the cross, and we know the sacrifice and devotion of our shepherd as well. In 2010, it would have been difficult for two-thirds of the church members to be saved from their sins. While he was reading the shocking letters of repentance, his strength was drained. But he didn't let go of the souls whom he considered like his own children. He clung to God to the end and moved the heart of Father God to give the grace of forgiveness. Also, he received the sword of punishment on behalf of many pastors and Levite workers. Thereby, he became a total wreck in body, and spiritually he was covered with blood. Moreover, to fill up the justice for those who are short of standing on the rock and coming into spirit, he's been suffering from unbearable itchiness, but he took it with joy, and by his doing so, more than 99% of justice was fulfilled for us so that we could understand the spiritual realm, which we could never have understood by our strength. Then many of our members have been changing into rock of faith, spirit, and Holy Spirit on the flow of Holy Spirit. Even those who committed sins over and over again, breaking his heart, even when they sent a letter of repentance repeatedly, because he loved them as if they were his own children, he never gave up on any soul. Even such evil workers who were tempted and disturbed the church members and the shepherd, he forgives them and holds them to the end, even with suffering. Seeing it, I felt the endless love and sacrifice of the shepherd. Also, even though it was his sabbatical year, he couldn't take a rest even for a day because he mourned for the souls all the time. Whenever he met his church members, he poured out the little strength that remained. At the last Holy Communion on Easter Sunday, he was so exhausted he could not continue to lead it. He rather said that he was sorry, and he shook hands with the members to the end. When I saw that he sacrificed everything unsparingly, I couldn't help but shed tears. He doesn't buy ice cream or noodles for himself to save money, but at the Feast of Spirit, he served not only people of spirit, but also our students with the best of things. He couldn't sleep, but kept scratching his face to fill up the justice for their shortcomings. But he's pleased with the fact that even one more person can change by his sacrifice. We can't help but take our hats off to him for his tremendous sacrifice. Likewise, even if the other made any mistake, Because he truly has mercy on him as if he were his own child, and because he can't let go of him to the end, he doesn't feel it hard to make any sacrifice for him, but rejoices. We can find this sacrifice and devotion from the men, people of spirit and the Holy Spirit. The deeper they came into spirit, the more they resemble the heart of the shepherd. They rejoice to suffer the pains to help the shepherd. Particularly, the people of the Holy Spirit, they do more than they can do with their strength. They pour out all their strength, and even when they meet their limit, they rejoice and they want to do their duties more, harder to give joy and strength to the shepherd. This is how to take up the cross willingly all the time. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the true love is completed by the deeds of sacrifice. So, Apostle Paul said he rejoices to receive suffering for the sake of the souls, and he rejoices with the suffering he received for the people, believers in Colossian churches. When people inserted him and beat him and put him into jail, the apostle Paul was not put the blame on anyone. If you are beaten too hard, you will hardly read. But furthermore, the apostle Paul was hung with chains, but Apostle Paul didn't feel it hard. He was pleased with the sacrifice that he could receive to become joy to the Lord. And he praised the Lord. He praised the Lord with his heart, deep in heart, with thanks and joy. Apostle Paul gave this praise to Father God. So then, what ought we do? You did everything well, but someone else did something wrong, and you have to suffer loss. Then wouldn't you feel uneasy about it? If you suffer loss because your own child did something wrong, you wouldn't feel it so hard to take. If you truly love that person, wouldn't you just think that you were sacrificing together for him? Or when you are falsely accused, yet you didn't do anything wrong, don't you feel it unfair? God knows well who did right and who did wrong. As it is said in 1 Peter 2:20, but if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. If we think of the Lord when we suffer without any reason, and if we take it with a sacrificial mind, God will pay for it. Well, even if you are falsely accused, you will feel it difficult if you think you are receiving refinement because of others. But you will be able to give thanks and rejoice if you think you can change by filling up the justice of sacrifice through it. Like the shepherd did. The same applies in our daily lives. Most parents feel distressed if their children doesn't listen to them or do as they say. Let's say you told your child to clean up his room. If he doesn't do it, you start nagging while cleaning it up yourself. However, if you look at yourself carefully, you are upset because he didn't listen to you, but you will also find that you are nagging because you feel distressed and irritated having to keep doing it yourself. A senior deaconess who had entered into spirit said that it took about an hour to wake up her son, who is a student, in the morning. But because she understood him, and she thought that it was natural for parents to sacrifice for their children, she didn't feel uneasy at all. I was impressed to hear that. This doesn't apply to the relationship only between parents and children. The same goes for the relationship between husband and wife, leader or subordinates or fellow workers. If you think that you suffer loss with thinking of your own benefit, you'll feel hard. But if you change your mind to think that you sacrifice for others, you'll be able to serve them with joy and thanks. It's because God will surely repay it. This is how to willingly take up the cross all the time and completely follow the Lord. Thirdly, to take up the cross willingly, we should not do it by force, but we should first die to self completely. While our Lord was taking up the cross, he didn't just die a fleshly death, but he completely died himself, put himself down and died to self. First, our Lord didn't have any greed, and the least desire that he could have had was nailed on the cross. Our Lord forsook the heavenly glory and came to this lowly earth in flesh of a servant. This fact itself is how he emptied himself. Just as a prince who lived in a palace and wore splendid clothing went to a poor village and wore the dirty and smelly clothing of a beggar. Moreover, his beautiful crown changed to a thorny crown, and his holy linen dress changed to a scarlet robe. Yet, what is more difficult to bear is that he who was the creator was mocked and despised with contempt by those of his creation. In the world, intellectuals feel the most painful and humiliated when their names are tarnished. So it must have been unbearable indignity to our honorable Lord. Our Lord prayed before he was crucified, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." How great his anguish must have been. But he continued to pray, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." We can see how thoroughly he put down all his greed. Next, our Lord didn't have self-righteousness and frameworks, but he was nailed to the cross with the self-righteousness that he could have insisted on himself. To the Jews who falsely accused the Lord who was blameless, he never asked what was wrong or insisted that he was right out of his self-righteousness. When a person dies, even for a death row convict, people have pity on him, giving him a clean clothing and a warm meal. But when our Lord was suffering and dying without anything done wrong, people rather mocked him. To those wicked people, yet our Lord didn't even blame them.
십자가에 내려와 봐라. 우리가 믿겠다고 하는 등 각가지 말로 놀리고
The wicked people mocked him and despised him, but he didn't even blame them out of righteous indignation, saying, "Do you know for whom I'm going this way? You are going too far." As a little lamb of God who took the sins of the world, he just walked that way without insisting on himself. Likewise, our Lord thoroughly put down the least self-righteousness and completely died to himself. Lastly, our Lord doesn't have arrogance at all, but He was nailed on the cross with the least pride, least self-esteem that He could have had as the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, what if someone slaps you on your face while you didn't do anything wrong? Would you be able to sleep in peace that night? However, our honorable Lord came on this earth, and without doing anything wrong, He was slapped, beaten with fists, and spat on His face. The Roman soldiers beat Him on the head with the reed, and He was mocked. If He had stood, if He had stood on self-esteem as the Son of God, the suffering would have been too hard to endure. If He had any self-esteem left, He could have appealed to the Father to send more than 12 legions of angels to destroy those who were crucifying Him. He could have thought, "How dare do you this to me?" But He completely nailed even this list of self-esteem on the cross. The same goes for us. To take the cross willingly all the time, we have to joyfully die to our greed, self-righteousness and frameworks, pride and arrogance. First, we have to die to greed that remains in our nature. I'm not telling about just greed for money or covetousness. In Chinese characters, greed is 욕심, and the character 욕 means the desire in heart. So everything that you desire for your sake is all greed. Therefore, if we are free of greed, we will acknowledge God and follow His will alone in every matter. However, you act as you are comfortable and as you want because of the greed in your nature. Because of this greed, you disobey, insist on your opinion, and make excuses. There is another kind of greed. Because we are taught the holiness gospel by the shepherd, many of our mommy members rejoice to give and share more than try to have more with greed. However, let's say you did a favor for someone, but that person was ungrateful or mean to you. Then sometimes you feel ill-treated and think it is disgraceful. Of course, you may feel so because the other broke the sense of reasonable treatment. But strictly speaking, you feel uneasy and ill-treated because you have a greedy nature that you want to receive even a little of something from Him. If you don't want to receive anything, you will never feel ill-treated, even if the other betrays you and repays you with evil for your favor. Therefore, we should not blame others, but we have to completely nail the greed in our natures to the cross. Only then will God be pleased with us, and He'll pay back with blessings, just as He gave all the land in the east, west, north, and south to Abraham, who joyfully yielded to his nephew Lot without any grudge when Lot first chose the land which looked good to him. When I saw the heart of Abraham who yielded completely to his nephew Lot, I thought of the goodness of Abraham. I thought that Abraham considered his nephew Lot as his own child. Well, let's say we gather together with our children, then we ordered a chicken, and then your child grabbed the leg part of the chicken. Then you will rebuke him? Say, how can you eat that good part, the chicken? If you love your children, then you will give the best part to your children, right? Therefore, I urge you to nail any greed left in your nature to the cross. I myself, recently, I discovered the greed left in my heart. our beloved shepherd invited our students to the Gethsemane prayer house. Well, when my son won the badminton play and he received the reward in his name is Sangha, and he was managed in heart that he would receive the reward. So after the annual prayer meeting one day, he asked me to play badminton. And the day he received the reward was the day before the parents' day when I had a meal with him. I talked to him like this. I practiced badminton with you very hard and you received the reward. Don't you want to give anything, don't you want to share anything with me? Then my son said, why do you want to receive anything from me? Well, I realized that this is also the greed left in my nature. It is not a big deal, but this is also the greed left in our heart. If you want to receive something from people, well, I did well to my son, but I couldn't ask anything. But later, my son gave something to me. But after I finding out my the greed in my heart, I decided to get rid of all the greed left in my heart, even if it's a little, even if it is a little. Next, we have to completely die to self-righteousness and frameworks. When we look at the other, if he does against the truth, we sometimes feel uneasy, thinking, why does he do so? It's not the truth we learned. Because self-righteousness and frameworks are hardened in us, although they are invisible, we can sense them. When the other does wrong way too much, we may have grudges and disagreements towards him. Also, if he's unreasonable, you think it's not right and you feel uneasy out of self-righteousness. Goodness is a heart like cotton. It doesn't have conflict or disagreement, but rather it is able to enfold even those who distress others. So if you feel heavy or have conflict and grudges against someone, you should not just blame them on him, but you have to admit that you have self-righteousness and frameworks. You have to thoroughly break them so that you can have a good heart that has no conflict or grudges in any situation. This is how to nail our self-righteousness and frameworks on the cross. Lastly, we have to thoroughly die to pride and arrogance. Because our mommy members learned humility by looking at the shepherd, it's not easy to find someone who thinks highly of himself, except in cases of novice believers. Yet, although you may not be arrogant in a fleshly manner, you may have a spiritual arrogance remaining that is known as pride. This pride is not easily revealed unless someone neglects you or a subordinate behaves rudely. When you meet with this situation, you will feel that your pride left deep in your heart is aroused. When your subordinate points out to you your shortcomings, or when a person who doesn't do well tries to teach you, you may feel discomfort that touches your pride. However, this kind of phenomena appears in the flow of spirit. You did hard but the measure of faith was not as much as you expected, you may get disappointed and lose heart. Strictly speaking, you thought you were doing well, but you found that you were not. And then it hurt your pride that you don't want to admit it. Also, it seems that you and others diligently did the same. But others grew a lot, but you didn't grow in faith. Then you may feel uncomfortable. Of course, it may be because of envy and jealousy, but it may also be because your pride was hurt. You didn't think that you are short of anything compared to the others, but when the result was different, it hurt your pride. In a family, someone who was ahead in faith and led the other members received the lower measure of faith than others, or couldn't receive measure of faith while others received, or other members whom he guided came into spirit earlier than him. I saw then the one who was ahead at first became depressed and lost the fullness of the Holy Spirit. All these things happen because your pride is greatly hurt. There was the only one who couldn't receive the measure of faith among leaders, I mean, in my parish. Well, she was greatly hurt in her pride. When I asked if she was okay, she said, "It's too hard to be in the flow of a spirit. I'm ashamed. I want to run away. I tried to move to another district, but I couldn't because other members stopped me. Sometimes I see the members like her. It's because they were greatly hurt in their pride. But God is working precisely, and the flow of spirit is so accurate. Without this flow, how can we wholly discover ourselves by our deep pride being revealed?" I heard the testimony of those who received the measures of faith. When I made visitations to a family, well, this family is in refinement because of disobedience to the word of the shepherd. I said to them to repent thoroughly of their pride, self-esteem. Then, not long after I made the visitation to them, they received the measures of faith. Those who couldn't receive the measures of faith before received the measure of faith over the rock of faith. When you break your pride, then God will be pleased with you. If you truly long for spirit, you should not blame others or the flow of spirit, thinking, "Why do I have to suffer this humiliation?" You have to admit your pride that it was deeply hidden, but revealed through others in the spiritual flaw. And you have to put the blame on yourself. And then you have to break the pride left completely with a grateful heart. It is how to thoroughly nail on the cross your pride and arrogance left in you. Only then we can willingly take up the cross and fully follow the Lord. Now it's time for the conclusion. When I had just come into spirit, I had an opportunity to find that I still had a lot of ego in me. Before I came into spirit, I heard that I couldn't feel the goodness of the shepherd because of my self-righteousness and fleshly thought. Then by comparing myself with the shepherd's goodness, I thoroughly realized how evil I was, and I denied myself completely. As the result, I could cultivate the heart of mercy. I put down desire for my own benefit that was left in me. With the heart that I would give everything to others like our shepherd did, only if I could just come into spirit. Then I could fulfill the heart of peace, and I was blessed to come into spirit by the grace of the shepherd. But after I became a person of spirit, when someone passed judgment on my shortcomings and neglected me recklessly, I felt uneasy, thinking, "How could he deal with me like that? He has to serve a person of spirit." I felt distressed for some moment. But the next day, while I was going to my car to make visitations, I came to think how the Lord and the shepherd did. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord is our Lord, a, per, Man of spirit or Holy Spirit. As our shepherd, man of spirit or Holy Spirit. They are higher. Our Lord is much higher. Our Lord is one with God the Creator. And our shepherd is attested by the Father God. Our Lord is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But when he came to this earth, he was mocked and despised. Nevertheless, he walked his way in silence. Our shepherd pleases God and he is attested by God through the power. But at the trials in 1998 and 1999, or at small trials recently, even to those who betrayed him and spoke wickedly about such a good shepherd, he didn't stand against him. He rather said, with goodness, I'll be beaten if they beat me, and I'll be trampled if they trample me. When I thought of them, I realized that they could do so not because they didn't have power, but because they don't have ego. I also remembered how the fathers of faith did. Apostle Peter took the cross upside down because he couldn't take it the same way as the Lord took. If you take the cross upside down, the pain will become three times more. Well, other disciples joyfully went the way of martyrdom, even though they were persecuted and lowered for the sake of the Lord. Particularly Thomas, who had many doubts, felt so sorry that he had said that he would believe the Lord's resurrection only after seeing him himself. So he went to India full of idols by ship and opened the church and suffered martyrdom with joy after all. I realized the deeper I come into spirit, the more humble I have to be in walking the way of the Lord and the shepherd. Of course, I didn't have desire to be served first because I came into spirit. But without my knowing, I thought and mistook that it was natural to be served as a man of spirit. I discovered myself and felt ashamed of myself so much. I realized that the deeper I come into spirit, the more humble I have to be and walking the way of the Lord and the shepherd. Then I made up my mind to demolish my ego more completely and to take up the cross willingly so that I could die to self every day with joy. If anyone of you think, I'll be recognized if I come into spirit, change that thought. The deeper you come into spirit, the more you have to lower yourself following the shepherd, and you have to deny yourself and willingly take up the cross. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the symbol of Christianity is the cross. So every church has its cross tower, and there is a cross in the church. Believers put the cross in their houses, and many Christians wear a cross necklace or a cross brooch. They even hang a cross in their cars. They are proud of the cross in this way. Originally, the cross was not a splendid decoration or a beautiful logo, but a horrible tool for death penalty for sinners. But the reason why we love the cross is that our beloved Lord died on this cross to redeem us from sins and death. And it's because the way of the cross is the way of salvation. Therefore, we set the cross as the symbol of Christianity to always remember the Lord's suffering and to willingly take up the cross always and go the way of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, just as hymnal song number 135 refrain sings, so I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I hope we all willingly take up the cross and completely follow the Lord and our shepherd. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to take up the cross willingly following the Lord and the shepherd, firstly, we have to understand the meaning of the cross to think it not heavy, but glorious. Secondly, we should not feel it hard to sacrifice for others, but rejoice considering it as a process of filling up justice with love. Thirdly, we have to discover ourselves and admit it in any situation, and we have to thoroughly die to self, not by force but by thanks, without blaming others or environment. May you and I all change to have faith of Holy Spirit that recovers the lost image of God completely and also rejuvenate physically so that you can be blessed to be healthy and prosper in all aspects to only give glory to God. In the name of our Lord, I pray. Let's pray thinking over the message.
Hallelujah. 사랑과 은혜가 풍성하신 아버지 하나님 감사를 드립니다. 십자가를 항상 달고 지고 가자는 말씀을 통해서 아버지여 십자가에 그 감추어진 아버지의 사랑 또 그 목자의 사랑 희생을 다시 우리가 깨달아 보며 십자가는 무거운 것이 아니라 영광스러운 것이며 또한 아버지여 십자가를 진다는 것은 그 희생이라는 것은 힘든 것이 아니라 참으로 우리가 기쁘게 아버지 감당했다는 다시 한번 또 깨닫게 하심을 감사를 드립니다. 또한 아버지 우리가 십자가는 정녕 아버지 내가 온전히 죽어지는 것이기에 남을 탓하기 전에 환경을 탓해 내가 먼저 철저히 먼저 죽어질 때 하나님은 신속히 부활로 나올 수 있는 것이고 하나님도 축복으로 갚아주신다고 했습니다. 이제 우리 모두가 십자가를 무겁게 힘들게 지는 것이 아니라 어떠한 연단도 죽어짐도 어떠한 고난도 기쁨으로 감사함으로 온전히 달게 죽어지고 낮아지고 깨어지고 변화돼서 참된 부활로 영광으로 열매로 축복으로 나올 수 있는 우리 모두가 되게 도와주시고 목자의 뒤를 또 오직 주님의 뒤를 온전히 따라갈 수 있는 모두가 되게 도와주시고 또 목자의 힘이 될 수 있는 모두가 되게 축복해 주옵소서. 감사합니다. 우리 예수 그리스도 이름으로
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Let's receive the prayer for the sake of senior pastor through screen. Please lay your hands on your sick part and receive the prayer by faith for your desire and heart. Hallelujah! Almighty God, our loving Father, please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God all around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away, light come. Please scourge all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all the endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressure, diabetes, vital problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, and neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness, darkness, go away, light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problem. With the fire words of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. So Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.